Good morning. Tonight, or this morning, we're going to be discussing something that many books have been written on and many people are interested in. Keep your Bibles in to John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. That's where we're going to be discussing from this morning. This little section of the scripture, I want to take a different perspective on it. What I'm going to be talking this morning about is spiritual success. Fame, fortune, success, the American dream. If you have all three in your life is complete and all good. Is that correct or not? You may have all three of those, fame, fortune, and success, to make up that American dream, but do you have the most important thing in your life, and that is God? Preparing for this sermon, I prepared for a different perspective on it Saturday. My boss called me Saturday night, and I think it was Friday night, and said, Zach, I need you to go out west, in the western part of Kentucky, for work Monday through Thursday. I got back home, I think it was Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Well, go back to work Friday morning at 6:30. We worked until about 6:30 Friday night. Get called out before I even got to the office. Said, Zach, we need to get your guys and get two other guys to go with you. We've got to go back out to western Kentucky. There's a pole broke in the middle of the road, three cables. We finally get there, and it was in Uniontown, Kentucky, about 2.5 hours away, and I was driving my digger truck. It's a 33,000-pound truck with a 45-foot pole on there, and we get there. There's no pole broke in the road. There's one cable, so we drove 2.5 hours for a non-emergency call-out. Needless to say, we got back at, I think I walked in the house at 3 o'clock Saturday morning. And I had plans to take Michaela out to for celebrate her graduation Saturday morning, and I threw those plans out the door and moved those back to Saturday afternoon. I finally got it all fit together. Decided to switch it up at the last second, and last second as in yesterday, to put this perspective on there. But success is defined as an accomplishment of an aim or purpose. And then another definition of it is to the attainment of popularity or profit. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, there's I think I've came up with about six different points I'm going to put up here this morning. I don't have a PowerPoint due to all that chaos this past week, but my first point is be strong, and in Joshua chapter 1 verse 6, when we'll reread that, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide is as an inheritance of the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. It is important for God's people to be strong, because as soon as you make that point in your life, that choice in your life, that you're going to become a Christian, Satan is going to come after you. Satan is going to come after you harder and harder as the stronger you get. We made points in Mr. Eddie's class and then Wednesday night classes about becoming stronger and using your talents. And Satan's going to come after you with that. And then if you would, turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Must be strong in our faith and in your walk with God. And staying in the New Testament, let's turn over a few books to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Also, there is pointing out the fact to be strong like we should. And we need to put on the full armor of God, as you can read in the following verses, in verse 11 through 20. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So, in verse 6 of Joshua chapter 1, it says we need to be strong. And be strong throughout your spiritual walk with God and in your Christian life. And in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1, it states, Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. We must be strong, be courageous. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's go to verse 5. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Virtue is courage. We have to have that courage as well as strength. And then going back to 2 Timothy, let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We must endure the hardness of life as well as the good. Throughout your walk with God, Satan's going to tempt you, as I've previously said. And there will be good times in your Christian walk. There will be bad times. There will be times that you're going to question your faith. There's going to be times that you take pride in your faith and be stronger than you ever have. But through it all, in those good times and those bad times, those rough times, as well as the times that are going smooth and going good, we have to stand strong and have courage in our faith. And then back to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, we have to observe to do according to all the law. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Give me time to get there. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. Notice there in verse 20, it don't say observe some things that God has commanded you. Those three simple letters that make up that one word, small word, all things, cover everything from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22, I believe it is. The Old Testament is there for our example to see how the children of God develop in their Christian walks in life, and going from their good times and then to their bad times. They're going from we're going to praise God and everything that we do to let's go make an idol. And then the New Testament there is there for our New Testament commands of what we should do to be baptized. What should we do for every part of your life? God has it in here in the Bible. Today, Christ has all authority. And let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 33. Acts chapter 10 and verse 33. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God, to hear all things commanded to you by God. There again, it says all things. Hear all things commanded to you by God. We need to listen to those things, everything that God has commanded to us, not just what we want to hear. When we take somebody's advice, or you ask somebody for advice, I asked Dad for his advice from time to time, and sometimes he gives me that advice that no one else will, and give me just the downright honest advice, his opinion. And sometimes it just makes me so mad because it's not what I want to hear. but he tells me honest. And God directs you the honest way. He will tell you, will read things in here that you may not want to hear because maybe that's not what your friends are doing. That's not what your coworkers are doing. That's not how your coworkers live. And that's not what your coworkers say. I'm a lineman. And my line of work, it's a tough crowd. There is some guys in there that will cuss every single word in their sentence. Every other word out their mouth is a cuss word. And I recently got promoted to a foreman, so I have my own crew. I told my crew, I said, I don't care what you do outside of work, but if you're in my presence in what you're doing here, I've set out some rules for you. And in those rules is to watch your mouth, especially if we're in the public. If we're in the public, I don't want them guys saying all these things. That's a bad image on me. That's a bad image on the company. And I told one of them that. He was in that ride with me, that 2.5-hour ride, Friday night going into Saturday morning. And I've never heard a guy talk so much in my life. And he was telling me all these stories of his life and stuff like that. I was getting to know him a little bit better. He's a guy on my crew. And it just seemed like every other word out of his mouth was a cuss word. Every story was just something awful. And I looked at him and said, man, I said, has it ever occurred to you that somebody don't want to hear all that? He said, well, you asked me about my life. I said, I asked you about parts of your life, not your whole story. And I said, you can leave some of those details out, and some of those details I like to know, but some of them I could go my whole life without hearing. And he said, well, sorry about that. And from then on, he kind of watched it, and every now and then he'd slip one out, and I think he'd done it on purpose, pretty sure. But he would say, excuse my language, after everything. And I looked at him finally when we got back to the yard after he took his about an hour and a half nap. I kind of scared him how I woke him up, and that slipped out of him. And he said, excuse my language. I said, man, if you say that after every cuss word, do you actually mean it? He says, I guess you're right. He said, I'll work on it. I said, all right, appreciate it. And then going back to staying in the book of Acts, let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered him, said, we ought to obey God rather than man. In which, though that simple thing, many people in this world don't understand. Many people in this world would rather have the fame, the fortune, the physical success. But what's that get them? Because no matter, I've seen this thing on Facebook, no matter if you're a billionaire or you're a homeless guy on the street, where are you going to end up after you die? Right in the same predicament as that rich guy in the ground. So it does you no good to listen to man here on earth giving you the wrong advice when you have the right advice right here in this book of the Bible, the Word of God. So we need to, because God, He's got one power that man don't have. He has many powers, but one power that I'm going to point out here later on is He is the only one that can has effect or that can send your soul to hell or be with Him forever in heaven after we die. He's the only one that can touch your soul. Grasp your soul. Here on earth, nobody can. So we need to obey God rather than man. And then going back to Joshua chapter 1, let's look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditate therein day and night. To meditate means to think about, to keep in mind. When I was younger, I always thought meditate was those people that you would see in the movies or whatnot, sitting cross-legged on a yoga mat, just having their hands a certain way and start humming. And here doing this study, I took a closer look at the word meditate and got that definition. I really started thinking about it. Am I really, truly meditating on God's Word day and night? Going back to my line of work, I'm 48 inches from power. Most of the time, I'm a little bit closer than 48 inches of power. All of our stuff is 48 inches or below. And so I have a lot running through my mind, especially when I've got a new guy up the pole with me, and he don't have a clue what he's doing. And he's bringing in the strand, and it's flopping and going up into the power. And so I'm watching out for my guys, watching out for myself. And so I have a lot going on in my mind, but within all that, I need to think and have God in my mind all the time. Through those stressful times, through the non-stressful times, I need to be thinking on God's Word and living out His Word no matter what it is in life. Let's go to Psalms chapter 199. Psalms chapter 199. Or, I take that back. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 in verse 97. Got to the end of Psalms and I only seen that go to like 49, I think. So I got kind of stressed out there. Psalms chapter 119, verses 97 through 99. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. God's Word makes us wise to do what is right. It makes us understand the total outlook on life that people of this world may not understand. That those guys that are seeking fame and fortune and success in their life, like back to what I was going to talk about on a different perspective, the top five richest people in the U.S. as of March 2018, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Mark Zuckerberg, and David Koush, I guess that's how you pronounce his name. Their net worth is, it's ridiculous, the amount. But do they have the knowledge that we have? Do they seek the things that we seek? Most likely not. Yes, they donate some of their money to these organizations, but are they donating to the right reason? Do most of some of their income go to spreading the gospel? I'm thankful to be part of a congregation that the elders take great pride and take great responsibility in what to do with our funds here, spreading the word of going into Cuba, going to different parts of the country and everything like that, spreading the most important thing there is to spread, and that's God's Word. And then going back to Joshua chapter 1, let's look at verse 9. Do not be afraid is my next point. And we're going to look at the first part. I have not commanded you, be strong. I have not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Fear keeps us from doing the things in life, whether physical things or spiritual things. When I first went to lineman school, before that, my grandpa couldn't even get me in the bottom tier of a barn hanging tobacco or getting in the bucket of a truck or a bucket of a tractor with my uncle trying to fix a line going to his barn that he rigged up to power the electric fence. It was hard for me to get, 6 to 8, 10 foot off the ground. But I knew I didn't want to go to college, and that's what kind of drove me to get over my fear of heights. And so it's kind of ironic that now the highest I've been is 80 foot off the ground. and the fear that kept me from going through, that kept me back from all those years of going into those high places, is what kept me on the ground. I know 1 week at Lyman School, I called Mom just about crying, saying, "I don't want to do this anymore." That was the day that one of the first days was climbing. I slid 6 foot down a pole, and I said, "I'm done." I said, "I'm not doing this." And Mom said, "Oh, you're going through this. You have no choice." And she didn't really give me a choice of getting over all that, but I got over it, and now look where I'm at in my line of work. So the physical things that keeps us, or the fear keeps us from doing physical things, and on the flip side of that, spiritual things. This morning we talked about talents in our Bible class. The previous weeks we've talked about talents, of using your talents. Are you using your talents of whatever they are, or are you afraid because of what people may think of you? In high school, I was one of two Christians, I believe, faithful Christians, in my high school. There was peer pressure on me day in, or within, pretty much day in, day out, with my friends, my classmates. Was I afraid to do some, to say no to some of the things, to fear of being made fun of? Sort of, most of the time, kind of. But I used my parents as the excuse. Said, "Oh, Mom, Dad, they won't let me go do that." That gave me that excuse. And so Mom and Dad told me, make me the bad guy. So I said, "All right, I will." And so that kind of got me past that thing. But toward my senior year, I wasn't afraid to be different. I wasn't afraid to be that only Christian in my senior class, to mention God in a conversation, to mention God now at work. One guy, he used to be on my crew, love him to death, and he's not the most spiritual person in the world, not the most Christian person in the world. He likes to party. He likes to do things which I don't want to do. And I finally got to the point where he was finally asking me questions about my faith, about church. He said, "Do you think I'm a Christian?" Well, I didn't want to tell him the honest truth. And so I flipped the question back on him. I said, "Do you think yourself is a Christian?" He said, "What makes you a Christian?" I said, "Have you been baptized?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Was he baptized for the right reason?" He said, "What do you mean for the right reason?" I said, "Do you truly believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God, and repented and was baptized for that reason?" He said, "I believe that he's the Son of God and stuff." And so I said, I told his name. I'm going to leave his name out of this. Now, there's some here that might know him. And I told him, I said, "Buddy," I said, "if you have questions, ask me." So there on, there's about once a week we'd be in a truck together for probably 4 to 6 hours a day, or on the job site 10 plus hours a day. And he would just ask me periodically, "What do you think about this?" And I think he would go home and just point out a script, or take a scripture and bring it back and try to flip it on me, like, "All right, what do you think about this?" And so we would go back and forth. Just that little conversation can mean a whole lot in somebody's life. You cannot have that fear of losing friends, of losing a job, losing your money because of your belief. Because of that, not trying to brag on myself at all, because that made our friendship a little bit better, a little bit stronger, because of my not having that fear of losing him as a friend, got him to the point of being able to talk to me about God's Word and his spiritual life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. "Do not fear the thing, or fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And that was the point that I was making earlier. God can destroy both. He can destroy this world. He will do it sooner or later when he sends Jesus to come back to collect the saints, take them to heaven. People here on earth may harm your physical body, might hurt your feelings. But the one thing that they cannot hurt or even touch is your soul. You determine where your soul goes by the way you live your life. letting those people scare you and haven't listened to them out of fear of them hurting you. That's your choice. But are you going to let that fear overcome your faith in God and your spiritual walk with God? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 25, I added this point this morning in the Bible class. We don't need to hide our talents in the ground, but we need to use our talents. We need to use our talents no matter what they are, whether it is for the man up giving up here and giving a sermon, giving a talk, leading singing. I'm with Mr. Eddie and Mr. Jim here. I'm not a song leader. I'm a song follower. But are we going to hide our talents, whatever they are? You might have one, you might have many. But I promise you that one is just as important as that many if you do it right and use it right. And my sixth and final point is neither be thou dismayed. And let's go to back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I want to start at the beginning of verse 9. I have not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord of God is with you wherever you go. We can't become discouraged. Dismayed means discouraged. In Galatians chapter 6, let's turn there. Galatians chapter 6. And in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for the in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And we don't need to grow weary. Our hard work will pay off once we get to heaven, and that is what we have to keep holding on, and that's what keeps us going. So whether our body here is not growing numerically, are we growing spiritually? I believe that we are. And since even if we're not growing numerically, we cannot become discouraged by that. You may hear about these congregations growing in spiritual numbers like baptisms and stuff like that. Church I attended to and was a part of for those 8 weeks I was at Lyman School. After I left, they had, I think it was like 6 or 8 baptisms within like 2 or 3 weeks, I believe it was. And it was just really encouraging because some of those people that was baptized was the kids that I talked to. Not saying that it was me or anything, because I'm not taking any credit for it. But the kids that I was talking to, there was the teenagers. After I preached there, one guy in particular, his name is Adam, I believe it is. And Adam was going through a hard time in his life that he was hiding stuff that his parents didn't know. And I kind of related to that because I went through a point in my time that I was going through things and doing things I didn't want my parents to know, didn't want anyone here to know and find out. I was living that life of being a different person on Sunday and Wednesday than I was any other day of the week. And I talked to him about it, and I was like, Adam, I said, I'm not going to judge you. That's all you. That's your choice of what you want to do in your life. But if you died right now, where would you go? And he just sat there, and we sat there for probably 30 minutes after a service one morning, or one, I think it was one night. And then he said, well, can we talk over this over dinner? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'll pay where you want to go. And we went somewhere, and I think there was several of us that went out, but me and him sat down at one table, and his dad was there. His dad's a big sports guy. And he told me things, and then he didn't. When I left there, he didn't make that choice of becoming God's child yet. But he was one of that 6 or 8 people within those 2 or 3 weeks that got baptized, and I was really happy for him. There was one other brother there. He's a brother now. That he was in the mid 20s, early 30s, and had the same deal. But his deal was a whole lot more I guess intense than what mine and Adam's were, and he kind of related to both of us. I haven't got a chance to meet him yet, but I've heard his story, and it's a great story about it. But back to this point, we don't need to grow weary if we're not seeing baptisms. We may have not seen those baptisms in the other countries, but we were a part of them. We help support those preachers that are going out into different countries. We're helping support Mr. Eddie going out to Cuba here in a few weeks, it is. And he made that, it's a choice that you have to make that we was talked about in Bible class. His dad made the choice of learning a different language at a later age in life, and that resulted in many, many things that Mr. Eddie was talking about. And he didn't let him being, I guess you would say, just kicked out of Russia, he didn't let that make him grow weary. And like you said, he had that choice to either quit and kind of just soul about it, I guess you would be the best thing. But no, he decided to learn a different language, to contact more people, to totally immerse himself in a situation that would better himself and better the overall, the universal church of God. And also in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, we see that God will be with us, and with that, we will have good success and prosper. If you're not here this morning and you want to begin your road to the spiritual success, you can begin it by being obedient to God and His Word. If I want someone to listen to what I'm going to say in my sermon this morning, I want you to listen to this part for those who are not Christians. This is the most important thing that you could take from my lesson this morning, and it's the steps of salvation. Romans chapter 10. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. In a second there. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing means understanding. You're not understanding every word in this book, because I don't understand every word in this book. I bet Mr. Eddie, I would probably guarantee it, that he would admit that he don't understand every word in this book, everything that is said in this book. Understanding the basics of the Bible. Understanding what you must do to be baptized. Understanding just the basics of the difference between right and wrong. And staying in Romans chapter 10, let's drop down to verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We're going to focus on the second part of that, of belief. Belief is believing fully. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for the remission of your sins. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repentance is simply turning away or changing. You're turning away, you're changing your life from the good or from the bad to the good. You're repenting or turning away from those former sins of your life, whatever they are. Addiction. Just simple sins of, or not simple sins, physically minded, simple sins of lying and stuff like that. But you're just turning away from those sins in your life and turning over to God, turn to God. And going back to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, I'm not going to reread it, but the fourth step is confession. You're not confessing your sins at this point. You're confessing your belief of Jesus Christ and of His death and sacrifice for your sins. And let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but those who does not believe will be condemned. That final step of baptism, it means is being fully submersed underwater and cleansing you from your sins. The water does nothing but physically get you wet. The water itself is not washing away your sins. It's the act of obedience of going under, being fully immersed underwater, being baptized. It's that act of obedience, like I said, is what saves you and washes away from your sins. But after you're baptized and put on the name of Christ, it doesn't end there. as you get stronger in your walk of God or your walk with God, like I said at the beginning of this sermon, Satan's going to come after you in different ways. He's going to come after you harder and harder and harder. Whether it is that temptation of fame, that the temptation of fortune, temptation of success, Satan will come after you some way, somehow, in your life, multiple times in your life. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, I'll leave you with this passage. The last part of it. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. We have to be faithful unto death. And do not fear the things of that you are going to suffer, as in the first part of that verse says. We cannot fear the things and the people of this world. They are not going to destroy your soul. They might destroy your body. They might destroy your confidence. They might destroy your feelings. They cannot touch your soul. God's the only one that can do that. And whatever your need might be at this time, let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.